Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the Habitat Podcast, the podcast for wildlife habitat management, hunting strategy, and land stewardship. And now, your host, Jared Van Hees.
Welcome to the Habitat Podcast.
I'm your host, Jared Van Hees, and this is the Habitat Podcast. Welcome back, everybody. We have a great episode here today with my good friend, Uncle Lou from Stealth Outdoors. Sorry, guys, my voice sounds a little bit weird. I'm dealing with day three of influenza B over here, and let's just say it's been a grand old time. This podcast is great. We catch up with Lou about 2 weeks ago, kind of hear the story, you know, behind Lou, how we got into kind of hunting and into the stealth outdoors business to make our stealth strips. Stealth strips are a very popular high-end, heavy-duty silencing tape type product that you put on anything that would make noise in the woods. So for guys who are out there and don't want the deer to bust you, listen up. We talk about most of the uses that this product can do. We talk about a brand new product that Lou and I kind of came up with. I'm not going to lie, he did most of the work. But we were bouncing this idea off of each other when this started. And it's called the Rail Silencer. You'll be seeing more of that to come as well. He does a lot with the mobile hunters. Guys out there who are, you know, using a latitude saddle, climber stand, bouncing around. But a lot of our listenership does that, but also has, you know, permanent blinds and ladder stands. So this is not just a mobile hunter product. This product is very versatile. And we talk about other uses that might not be in the hunting related world, you know, taping up your duck down coat that got ripped. Kevin at the Deer Hunter Podcast always talks about the back of the pesky headboard. And there's multiple uses for this product. And we talk about it here with Lou today from Stealth Outdoors. Guys, I hope you've been doing well in the woods. Spring green up is coming. We are busting out these land plans. We're getting out to our parcels. We're doing a lot of timber work this spring and with you know, across the team here at Habitat Podcast, and just wish you guys a safe and happy spring. If you have any progress, any pictures, any, you know, questions or feedback on what we're doing, what you're doing, hit us up. Info at Habitat Podcast, or even, you know, the Messenger app on Facebook and Instagram. Habitat Podcast YouTube has been rocking as well. Two new videos a week up over there. Guys, thanks again for coming back. We'll see you next week with another episode of the Habitat Podcast.
This episode is proudly presented by Stealth Outdoors, the maker of stealth strips. Guys, I met Lou over at the Deer Hunter Podcast bow hunt we did, deer camp we did earlier this October. And I got to say, his products stand out as being the top quality silencing gear I've ever used and the top many of my friends have ever used. These stealth strips are great products you can put on your tree stands, your climbing sticks, anything you want to silence as a mobile hunter. But here at Habitat Podcast, we don't always mobile hunt. We have some blinds set up, some stands set up. I'm using the stealth strips for other things. I tend to knock my wedding ring on a ladder stand whenever I hit a ladder stand. That's not a bad spot to use a stealth strip. A gun blind, the shooting rail. You set your gun or anything out on the rail. A stealth strip is a perfect spot for that. We're actually coming out with a shooting rail strip for Habitat Podcast listeners. If you have a metal ladder stand and you pull the shooting rail over your head to sit down, a perfect spot to put a cell strip. Guys, there are so many uses for a cell strip, and many people have not even heard of this product, But once they hear about it and they use it, they put it on everything. That's just how it works. Talking to Lou, that's what he's told me. He has different options. You can have a Hawk Helium stealth strip, a Beast stealth strip, and my favorite, the Latitude Outdoors climbing speed stick stealth strip kit. Guys, cable silencers. You can cover everything with this material. There's a bark silencer. We can cover the bark on the tree to keep you quiet. He even has his own camouflage designs over at stealthoutdoors.com. Guys, big things to come from Lou SL Strips, working here with the Habitat Podcast. We're going to have him on the podcast coming up and can't wait to introduce you guys to these awesome made in the USA products. Stealthoutdoors.com. Tell them Habitat Podcast sent you. All right, guys, we're back with my co-host, Brian Hallblatt, and a special guest today from Stealth Outdoors, Lou Bukovich. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing great, Jared.
Welcome to the show, Lou.
Thanks for having me on, Jared, Brian.
Hey, no problem. I've always heard a lot about you over the past 4 or 5 years. We've been following Dan and whatnot for a while, and Kevin over at Deer Hunter Podcast, And we were lucky enough to finally meet you this past fall. And boy, did you live up to the stories.
I don't know. I don't think I have that good of stories. Like even Dan Infall will tell people, oh, go talk to Lou. I think he's just always trying to help me out and get a podcaster to interview me. But whatever. If somebody thinks my ramble's interesting, good. But I mean, a guy like Infall. Now, there's a guy with some stories, right?
Sure. Well, either way, you're for the weekend we got to spend with you. You have some great product history, great background, great conversationalist, and we really enjoyed it. So we decided to try to partner up with you, and now you're stuck with us. So welcome to the show.
And thank you. And I look forward to it because, you know, we've been in the last 5 years, really since our inception. Did you want me to get into it? I just kind of jumped into it.
You're good. Yeah, this is how we started them all. Let's hear about you and your background and kind of how the inception of Stealth Outdoors.
When I'm first asked about how we got going with how we got making stealth strips, I always answer that doesn't every little boy want to start a stealth strips factory? No. Sometimes things just happen. So really what happened was I was a failing company with my first, everybody thinks they want to get in the hunting business, right? So I had a product called the Bark Silencer that did not sell. And I got to know Dan Infall through his first hunting forum before the Hunting Beast. And we started becoming friends, and he called me up. He used to tell me, he goes, you'd do all right if you had a good product. So he was basically telling me, you're going nowhere with this bark silencer. So he called me up one night after he squeaked his rubber boot on his tree stand cable on his hang on, and he blew a hunt. And he called me up and I answered the phone, and he goes, Lou, Dan. Hey, Dan, what's going on? I was thinking you're my tree stand tonight. And I'm like, now what is the big buck serial killer thinking of Uncle Lou for, you know, about in his tree stand? Well, he squeaked his boot. So I set out to make a cable silencer. We called it the Dan Infall Signature Series Cable Silencer. Peterson's Hunting Magazine used to have some pity on us and give us some free press with new product announcements. So I contacted them, and I got the Dan Infall Signature Series Cable Silencer. And we got to about December. We just kept trying. I was playing with magnets and sewing and snaps and all types of things. I wanted, just like the bark silencer went around the tree and came off the tree, I had the same concept for that, but you didn't need it to be. So one day, after spending about a month or two prototyping and not liking anything, my wife says, why don't you just make it out of two-sided tape? And I'm like, let me make it out. And before I could finish mocking her, I was downstairs looking for two-sided tape. And we spent the next month just destructive testing and into the next year. And we finally, you know, got it together and introduced it. And when we introduced it, it was mostly through Dan's Hunting Beast forum. Everybody started asking for different sizes. And so that's what I did. I just continued to, if somebody asked me enough to make a certain size for this tree stand, not really the tree stands, but the climbing sticks were really starting to change at the time. And we just kept changing sizes, adding patterns. And in the last 5 years, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if I should say this or share this, but I'm going to anyway. We shipped 5.6 tons of stealth strips packages last year.
Wow. Did you get that stat from like your shipping software? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was telling ShipStation, actually, ShipStation will send out weekly emails, and it kind of shows you this week versus last week. And then at the bottom, it'll give you a rundown of your top customers for the week. And about once a month or every so often, it'll say, and when I met you guys, I started the year last year. We were just talking about ShipStation and how we verify the numbers. That's a ShipStation number. And I don't know if I should share that or not. People be gunning for me now, but You know, it is a stat we're proud of, and it just shows that it's not a fly by night product. You know, we're really fortunate in the feedback we get, and it keeps us going. You know, we get a lot of compliments. I could never imagine buying tape or even a silencing product and liking it to the point where I'm calling the company, but we get a lot of phone calls and a lot of unsolicited positive feedback, and it never gets old hearing it.
Well, what's interesting is your product is not a heavy product either. So when you're talking 5.6 tons, like, that's a lot of cell strips.
It is. And now I finally figured out why my back hurts. I've been a human forklift for the last few years.
So how did you and Dan end up meeting in the first place?
We met through his first form, and even on the Hunting Beast, even to this day, if you go sign up as a new member, Dan is very engaging. He's very easy to get a hold of. And I'm not one of these people that need to reach out and talk to everybody I do business with, but he could tell that I had a product, and he's very invited to let people, you know. One time he called me out, Uncle Lou, and the word Uncle Lou, that came from when I joined his forum. I'm like, you got to have a forum name. And so, and I am an uncle, and actually I have nephews with kids, which makes me great uncle. But anyway, I had a friend, good friend, who started calling me Uncle Lou. And it was so funny. His stepdad would call me Uncle Lou. And to hear, like, when you're 30 and you hear a 70-year-old man call you Uncle Lou, it just kind of so I use it as a forum name. But I met Dan through his forum. And then I went to a couple of shows. I had a booth, and we got to know each other, and we became friends. We became friends probably around 2009 at the him and his original partners actually came over to Michigan in Lansing. I'm pointing to Lansing. At the Deer and Turkey Expo, they used to be called. And I met Infault there, and we've been friends ever since 09.
Very nice. Yeah, that's I've been wanting to get to some of those other expos, like that Mobile Hunters Expo you're going to. Dan's been in Michigan a few times over the years, but you know, meeting you up at Kevin's Deer Camp was awesome. You were handing out some sample strips, and man, Brian and I both are super impressed with that. And it's kind of no wonder you're shipping so much product. I mean, good guy, good product, reasonable price. It just makes sense, right? You're not trying to be out there and rule the world. It's a good fit.
Well, thank you for that. I feel like a drug dealer at some of these shows. I'm out handing out samples, trying to get everybody hooked.
Yeah, I was fortunate to meet you at the Harrisburg show. I'm trying to remember how far back this went, but I had the original old square tube Lone Wolf sticks, and I bought a set of Stell strips off you at the Harrisburg show. Gosh, that had to be 6-7 years ago, maybe longer, 8 years.
Are you sure in Harrisburg? Because I went there last year just as an attendee. I wonder if maybe someone else. I don't. You sure it wasn't another show? I wasn't at Harrisburg then.
Well, did you do the Ohio Deer Expo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did. Ohio.
They all run together. That must have been the one.
That one, and that was, I think we did Ohio Deer and Turkey in, it was 17 or 18.
Okay.
And I remember wanting to go down there. So in 18 is when we went full time. We started making Stell strips in 2010. They hit the market. And in 2013, hate to keep referencing Infault, but he's been a big part of he's been a big help and a big part of what we do. He actually got interviewed in the September Field and Stream issue, and he insisted to them. They did like 10 pages. He insisted to them that they write up a piece about Stell strips. And that was it was the September issue, but you know how they come out a little early. But in October, it kind of blew us up. And I was an environmental contractor. I did environmental liners, and I was just doing this on the side. And I'll never forget the orders coming in. It was because of the Field and Stream article. And from 14, we got mentioned in Sports of Field or this, what's the sister publication of Field and Stream?
Good question.
Outdoor Life.
Outdoor Life. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job, Brian.
And I think it was Mark Kenyon or somebody associated with those guys that helped us get in there. And then 15, I forget what milestone, and 16 and 17. But I remember around 16, 17, watching the growth. And I kept saying, man, I could do this full time if this keeps going. And in fall 2018, we went full time. So now this is basically my full time gig.
Yeah, Dan's super generous with his time and knowledge. And he's helped a couple of people get established. And that forum, like you said, my buddy Mike Perry, who's been on our show, he actually turned me on to Dan's forum years ago. And like you said, you go on there and it's like you're part of the family, and he's happy to share whatever he's got and takes time to explain everything to you. So yeah, it's pretty cool that he helped you get a jump start. And I've seen him help a few other people too, which is awesome.
Yeah, he just supported us on the forum. And then you know how it went back then, people that would come to his forum would be from PA or whatever state, and they'd go back and start chatting about it there. And it just really crawled the internet, and it was all word of mouth. And then it's so funny. Once you go full time at something, now it's all about the numbers. You know, it's no longer a labor of love. You got to make a living at it. You know, everybody goes, oh, this is a labor of love. I got one friend's always grinding at my face from the old miner business because he kind of wanted me to stick around that. And I'm like, you know, the labor of love is over. You know, this is, and I do enjoy what I do, but I mean, careful what you wish for, because I hardly hunted last year. You know, it's busy season. You got to take care of the customer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How is that, Lou? How is taking your passion, your labor of love, and turning it full time? You hinted at it there, but let's hear real quick. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are entrepreneurial and you know, have side hustles and this and that. What's it like to go full time? I've kind of wondered that, because it could be a double-edged sword.
It is a double-edged sword. It really, if I really explain what it takes to do it, nobody would want to do it. And I don't, nope. I don't want to give that side of it, you know, and it's maybe because I've been doing something this morning that wasn't real fun. You know, I've been dealing with financial documents all morning. and just the non-fun part of it, like now I have to continuously figure out how to be an excellent e-commerce retailer. You know, Amazon has set a bar. There's many good retailers, but Amazon has set a bar for fast shipping, right? People expect their stuff. But I tell you, I've been self-employed since 1998. I was a senior geologist in an environmental consulting firm. I was 29 years old, and I said, I can't sit in an office anymore. I'm not an office guy. And I quit, and I started pressure washing. I became a contractor, and I ended up getting back into the environmental business through installing liners. And that was basically what I did from about 03 to about 2018. And I still did some sales and still continued to have some involvement in the liner business, but I sold my equipment. And soon I'm going to just completely close it down. But what I'm getting at is I've always wanted to be self-employed, and I was always looking for something to do. And when this came my way, the way I started was a friend of mine gave me the idea for a bark silencer, and it just didn't work out. But it, once you go down a path, sometimes that path in life changes, you know, and you just got to kind of deflect with it. But then you get into the hunting part of things. When I was a contractor, I had all time, kind of time to hunt. Busy season was the spring, summer, early fall, and I could hunt. Then this happened, busy season's fall. So I get fish a little bit.
So let's dive into what exactly your product is, Lou. We've mentioned it. We've, you know, guys can check out the website, but let's hear real quick exactly like what this product is and why people would need it for the most part.
Well, primarily we started out as a silencing thing, but you know, for the cables, you know, so your rubber boot wouldn't hit. Dan's rubber boot squeaked. It sounded like a tennis shoe on a gym floor. So we covered that. So that can't happen. And then people start asking for different sizes. So primarily we're a silencing tape. But in the last few years, I really like to tell people that it's very versatile. Mm-hmm. If you ripped your coat, if you wanted to pack anything, you would use duct tape on it. I'm not trying to replace duct tape. Obviously, duct tape is cheaper and versatile, but will outlast the duct tape. So you really don't want to patch a high dollar coat with duct tape. But if you put this on there, I know the pattern might not match, but if it's a $300 coat, you just ripped it on a barbed wire fence, you might want something that'll stick to it for a year or two, right?
Yep.
And pick the best you can. So I've been trying to push its versatility, but we started out as a silencing fabric, you know, kind of like mohair on steroid, right? You used to go to the pro shop and you'd get a piece of mohair, you know, 3x5, 4x6, whatever, and it was $3, $4, $5. Well, we just expanded this, you know, where you can actually wrap things. Because if you had a set of lone wolf sticks, that's when we started, back when, you know, lone wolf sticks was the only mobile stick, and you wanted to go to the pro shop and wrap them with the 3x5 inch mohair, how much you spending to do that, right? So we just expanded it, you know, literally expanded the sizes that you could get. And then when the mobile hunting blew up in the last 5 years, we were kind of the eye of the storm with all these different sticks, and people would contact us. What about this stick? What about this stick? And I'm like, this year is kind of funny. The XOP customers started contacting us. They wanted their own size. I'm like, are you kidding me? We had a 4x17. We had a 4x20. We had a 4x32, a 4x34, and then the large roll, which is 4x72, which you can trim to any damn length you want, right? Nope. They wanted a 4x19. I'm like, fine. I cut it 4x19, charged the same as a 4x20 because I didn't want to do it. But man, have they been good to us. They wanted that size. So that's what I've learned. People want a certain size, and we'll make it. And the other thing, since I'm giving away how much volume I did, so I'm probably inviting competition now, bring it. Because if you're going to compete with us, you better wake up in the morning trying to figure out how to run a stealth strips factory. So if you're a tree stand company and you think you're going to just throw one or two sizes out there and steal all our customers, you better hustle harder than that, because we value our customers. I mean, we changed us. We chopped an inch off for the XOP guys, right? Just because they asked for it.
Yeah. And that makes you nimble, versatile. You know, big companies are not nimble and versatile. So I think you're going to remain strong in your niche, no matter which way it shakes out. And like I bought the kit and put it on my Latitude Outdoor sticks, and you can trim it, sure, but the kits are nice, or the already cut lengths are nice, because,
oh yeah,
I mean, you want it to look nice when it's on there, you want it to function, you don't want to miss anything, and it just saves time, and time is money. So, you know, I would say it is like a moleskin on steroids. And what can you talk about regarding the moisture, what's the word I'm looking for, how it holds or does not hold moisture / scent? What do you have figured out there?
Well, first off, it's a polyester, and it's a dense polyester, and it's a woven fabric. It is brushed, so moisture can get on it. And I've been wanting to weigh one before and after, but a soak and wet stealth strip can't weigh more than twice as much. And I don't know how they're going to get soak and wet, because they're mostly going to be on a vertical surface. But when it comes to moisture, polyester is inherently water resistant. Plus, there's a DWR spray on it, so you can get. And if you want more water resistance, and DWRs are kind of like car wax, they kind of fade through time, you can replenish it. You can essentially make these things waterproof. I won't call them waterproof because they're not. When you put a aftermarket spray applied coating on it that can diminish through time, I'm never going to call that waterproof. But even without the DWR, they're highly water resistant. Water isn't a problem at all. We did our destructive testing. We threw them in a creek for 3 months and then tested the adhesive with them coming out. They passed with flying colors and just pull tests. You know, they stuck like grim death. When it comes to scent's kind of funny. And the reason I say it's funny is some people go, I'm afraid of it holding scent. I'm like, if that's your fear, treat it, spray it. They make aftermarket scent killers, right? There is no difference between our fabric and any other fabric with their ability to hold scent. I mean, there are, because there's some that are more absorbent. But
right,
this fabric that I use for stealth strips is a very common fabric. It's made, it's on the outside of many jackets. It's that brush suede, right? Do you know that the outside of a scent lock coat can get scent stuck to the outside of it in the same fashion that a stealth strip could? 100%. Your carbon's on the inside, and that carbon does not create some negative pressure vortex to pull any, say my hand stunk, I touched my coat right there, my assuming this is a scent lock coat, that carbon in there is to block your human odor from coming out, right? It doesn't suck in any scent on the face of that fabric. You'd have to spray that, right?
Yep.
So absolutely. Essentially, if you're concerned with scent, and I follow the school of Dan Infall, play the wind, I'm not concerned at all. It's actually quite liberating when you walk away from it. But I'm not going to argue the fact. If somebody has a concern with it, spray it. Treat. You could put it in a washing tub or a 5 gallon bucket with your detergents. And I still have some detergent left over from years ago, and I'll wash my clothes in it when I wash my hunting clothes with the scent free detergent. But treat it if you're concerned.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, like, if you were to use like a camo duct tape, you know, or the hockey tape, I should say, like that stuff over time will gather a musk, if you will, right, and just really soak it all up. So. And I've used that stuff in the past. Yours has like padding behind the camo fabric as well, which I like, which helps the sound dampening. And then, you know, even with your new product coming out, you know, you got neoprene on that one. Let's dive into kind of what some of the popular uses are. We understand mobile hunting. That's pretty obvious. But maybe there's some other ones that guys use this for.
Oh gosh, every now and then I'll just come up with something harebrained that I use it for. And I started something called hashtag 1001 uses for stealth strips. And sometimes people would chime in. Brian Landry, the owner of mobile hunting gear, Stick Talons, they were our very first customer that used our product on their Stick Talons. And they had some in stock, and his wife was in the backyard with the kids. I guess they had some type of pool and it was leaking, and they slapped it and did pool repair with it.
This podcast is brought to you by Latitude Outdoors. Guys, Latitude Outdoors is one of the top saddle hunting manufacturing companies in the world, here headquartered in Michigan. Guys, I've worked with Kevin, Alex, the guys over there at Latitude.
I've been using their products for over 3 seasons here at Habitat Podcast. The first deer I shot was that first big buck on the 15 acres out of my Method 2 saddle. That buck, I shot him out of the saddle using the climbing sticks, the platform, everything to get up, and that saddle is just very versatile when selecting a tree. It's the first time I hunted that tree on the 15 acres. I climbed up that day and was able to make the shot and a follow-up shot on that buck in that saddle. Guys, the saddle is so easy to use. You literally strap it on like a seat belt, like a belt. It's all ropes. There's no metal components. There's no tinging and banging and clunking. I wrap it around, I step into it, I cinch it down, and I'm on my way out. You know, I also use their Carbon Speed Series climbing sticks. I got those brand new this year. I've been using those all over bow hunting and gun hunting, from public land to private. Very lightweight, easy to carry, stackable sticks. I ended up putting stealth strips on mine and using daisy chains. They compact very well, hang out of the bottom of my pack. And when I'm wearing the Method 2 saddle, I can easily pick any tree in the woods and hunt. Guys, if you're looking for a way to outfit your property without spending $200 per stand, like I'm gonna do on the new 40, I'm gonna prep a bunch of saddle trees and keep the deer guessing on where I'm sitting. They will not know my tree stand location because I will not have one. Guys, saddles are very versatile. I urge you to check them out. Latitude Outdoors. Again, I've been using them for years and they are great products. Latitude Outdoors, thank you for supporting the Habitat Podcast.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Am I off on a tangent or am I answering your question?
No, you're good. Keep going.
It's versatile, but I started thinking of the different uses. I've repaired pants. Actually, it's funny. We put some roof paper on, and I had some that came laminated backwards. I couldn't sell it. I wanted to call it Tough Man tape, but I had I don't want to say how many $1,000 mistake, but I put it on my neighbor's roof. It's on his house next door, and it's survived since a year ago, November. And I actually have a test piece on my roof too. I had a weather vane that cracked, and I just wanted to. It'll fade in the sunlight, but it's still out there. I like to tell people stealth strips aren't just for breakfast anymore. You remember the orange juice commercial back in the late 70s, early 80s? You remember that?
Yep.
They were trying to get you to drink orange juice all day, right? And so their commercials were not just for breakfast anymore. So when somebody sends me like, look what I did with my stealth strips, I'll say, they're not just for breakfast anymore. And people younger than you guys probably don't know what that means, but you can look it up. Captain Google, right?
Exactly. I just know that, you know, following your Facebook and Instagram, you had something on there the other day as another new use for the product. You know, I put some on like moleskin, like my bow rest. When that wore through, I reattach a bunch on my bow rest for that same exact reason. But you're continuing to innovate, and maybe a lot of our listeners may not mobile hunt as much as they have a solid tree stand out there. I'm not sure exactly on that, but we ask this question every one of our podcasts. Do you hunt mobile? Do you have a blind, or do you have a permanent setup? And we get a multitude of answers. You came out just recently with a brand new product. You and I were chatting about it, I don't know, a month or so ago. Tell us about the new rail silencer.
So when you and I got talking about doing some sponsorship with your show, I said, I got the perfect product for your audience. I'm assuming, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I'm assuming that Habitat Podcast listeners, and I'm sure you have some mobile hunters in there too, but I'm assuming that there's some ladder stands, climbing stands, you know, on private land, some fixed or permanent box blinds. And I thought, I've just been waiting for the time to introduce it. in 96, maybe 97, when I first started rifle hunting, my next door neighbor took me up north. I was sitting in a friend of his blind. I actually used to blind hunt, never enjoyed it, but I do enjoy it at times, but just to sit and relax. But my point is, I missed the opportunity at the biggest deer I ever could have shot in my life. It was just a beautiful field and stream up north 10 point. And he walked up out of this lower creek bottom, standing there looking, and I laid my gun up on the shooting, you know, the shooting window. And it went clunk. And it was November 15th or 16th. It was opener or the day after. That's when I'd go up there. And that clunk went about 130, 150 yards across that field. And he just turned around and walked right out of my life.
Oh.
And ever since that day, when I sat in a blind, and I hunted with a couple buddies on a lease this year, and I sat in a blind this year for a couple days, I take my glove off and I set it underneath that gun. So that'll never happen again. It's never left my head. But I've had my glove fall off inside or outside. Right. So I made these rail silencers and I thought it was a perfect opportunity to introduce it to your audience. And it'll go on the shooting rail of a ladder stand, of a climbing stand, of a box blind, whether it's a plastic, it'll stick to anything. It's got the two adhesive tabs and I got that neoprene pad in the middle. And I really think it'll be useful.
Yeah, that climber picture that we posted and that you posted on your social, it kind of really just, it's right there in the picture. You can see exactly what it does. And I can't tell you how many times I've tinged my bottom cam on a Summit climber rail over the years.
I think you're talking about with the vertical bow, right?
Yes.
Okay, that can hit the rail too. I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking of laying either a crossbow or a gun. I'm glad you pointed that out because that lower limb could hit that rail. And sometimes those rails can be taken off or adjusted, right? They go up or down.
Yeah, on some of the models. But on that old climber that I used for probably 15 years, that was more of how high you set it when you get set up. And then if deer comes in, you're not moving that thing out of the way. You okay. have to lean over it or this and that. It's just another great use. And that neoprene gives it a little bit of a buffer too. You know, you're not losing your glove. You're not banging through tape. If you hit something real hard, I don't think you're gonna make a lot of noise.
I agree. I think it's going to be very useful. We'll let the market determine if it's a viable option or not. That stand was my buddy Tony's. He was the guy that named me Uncle Lou, by the way. And he bought it off a friend or somebody, and it had that nasty foam. Like I did a post and somebody actually commented, pool noodles are $2 and they work just as good. And I'm like, thanks for saying that here, but okay, fine. You know, sometimes I just shake my head at a comment that a grown man will make or even a woman online when you can just walk away. Right. Why say something negative?
They can't.
But either way, if you would have saw this mess, I should have taken a before picture, you know, with duct tape and pipe insulation and a little camo something else in there. And it's kind of cobbled together. It just looked like crap. But I'm sure it was functional. And then when I sent Tony that picture, he's like, thanks, man, that looks great. And it's still outdoors. We're not really going for aesthetics. We're going for performance. But let's face it now. I mean, people have so much money into their equipment, you know, looks matter, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're sitting in a tree stand for 4 or 5 hours or maybe an all day sit. You don't want to be looking at stuff cobbled together on your expensive gear. Like you said,
I didn't even think of that. Looking at your own gear going, really? I spent $600 for this. And this is what it looks like.
Right.
Really? A pool noodle on my climber.
Hey, you know what though? If a pool noodle, like some people will mention hockey tape to me. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, if the hockey tape mentality never existed for Rapping the Lone Wolf, you know, the original guys, they reminded me of like the Hansen brothers. And what was that old ice hockey movie, you know, where they're foiling up, getting ready for battle, right?
Slapshot, yeah.
Slapshot, you know, I mean, there's guys getting ready for battle. They're hockey taping up their stuff so it doesn't make noise. If it wasn't for that mentality, I don't know that stealth strips would have ever taken off, right? It's that people that are looking for that little extra edge, putting the foil underneath that mitt for fighting, right?
So Lou, let's get into what the customer can expect. Somebody gets on your website, orders a kit for whatever sticks they have. Say they got some Latitude Outdoor sticks that they get a kit for. What kind of prep work should they expect? And walk us through the installation.
Oh gosh, so that's a great question. First off, on Latitude and a couple of others, when a company reaches out to us to make a cut specifically for their stick, I won't offer that out of respect to them. But if they insist, I point them towards something slightly different. If they insist, like I want to get some other things here and I don't want double shipping. But so for prep, I have some videos. And for the Latitude 6, since you mentioned it, they did their own videos on that. But honestly, once you have it cut to length and to width, there might be a couple of relief cuts to get around, you know, for lack of a better term, Dynalock, or I don't know what they call their attachment, forgive me. And sometimes you got to trim out around the stairs. But if you don't see oil or visible dirt on something, I would just run it. You know, the adhesive won't stick to a wet surface or an oily surface, but it sticks to about anything. And I always like to mention that they stick well. I mean, I've heard people tell me they stick like grim death. Mm. So if you put them on, you better want them on. But to go a little deeper into answering your question, if it's a stick that we did a tutorial for, we have a sheet in the package that gives you some general guidelines and it references our YouTube channel. We've done a lot of, haven't updated it much recently ever since Gabby left. She did a lot of filming and editing. I don't know how to do that stuff, but we filmed enough stick installs that you should be able, like we haven't done a muddy stick, but we've done a modified lone wolf or this stick and some of the same tips and tricks will apply. But I run them, you know, they're very aggressive adhesive and a very forgiving, you know, and it's simple to do. There's more than one way to apply stealth strips. There's no wrong way. That's why I just give tips and guide. I just did a video the other day. We were wrapping something for Honeybees came out with a new camera arm. Did you see their new camera arm?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And as soon as I saw it, I wanted to wrap it. And so I made a kit for this. And I've been wanting to last a couple of weeks to get this kit out so it's available. But and when I did another video, so there's things that you learn on your first one. So I always tell somebody if you want an excellent job done on your own equipment, do wrap your buddy's stuff first, make all your mistakes on his stuff. He'll be happy because you did it for free. And then you learn from that and then you do a great job on your own.
That's a great tip. So if somebody's sticks or say they got some mud or something on there, should they just use like a mild soap and get them cleaned up, and let them dry? Is there anything that'll hurt the adhesive?
No. I mean, I tell people if you really want to feel good, and remember, I said I was in the environmental liner business. That came from performance coatings. Surface prep was our biggest issue, right? On prepping concrete, metal, even wood sometimes. Surface prep is key. And then I get to this and I'm like, on surface prep. Seriously, if you got mud on it, you can take a dry rag. But if you really want to, you're of the do it right mentality, and there's nothing wrong with that, and you want to wipe it down with denatured, it's not going to hurt you, right?
Perfect.
If you really want to clean it, wipe it down with a dry rag, possibly denatured. Now, removing adhesive, I don't want to get into that. That's a whole different topic. Every now and then, I'm just looking at the time, make sure I'm not blathering too long.
Now, and kind of to Brian's question, you know, what customers can expect. We're not talking a huge investment here to get yourself set up. Like, what can a customer expect? Go on your website. I know we have a special discount code we're going to mention, but depending on what the products are, you can get set up for very economical.
You know, I'll get people call me up and they'll ask me, what should I get for this? Well, I enjoy interacting with people, but I don't know how to answer. Like they'll say, what do I need for this tree stand? Well, they're basically asking me to measure that tree stand if I haven't made a kit for it. Or two kits are very universal, but I always tell people get a roll or get the cable silencers and see if you like the product. You know, maybe it's not for you for whatever reason. We had a guy come on there that did a bad review when we came out with the buckle silencers. And 2 years later, he came back and said, I wish you could delete that. But I left it up because it was very harsh. He said, it doesn't look like, he basically said he was such a hardcore hunter, he doesn't see how this would last, but I'll use it on something else. Well, he must have ended up using it. He came back and said, hey, I want to say these things are durable. And so I don't push product on people. I don't, you know, you want to know what I want would charge you for a custom cut. Give me the dimensions. Otherwise, I tell people, get a roll, get a small roll or a medium roll, do a little bit. If you like it, you can always get more, you know? So what can they, you can get started for a pair of cable silencers are $4. Anybody not putting a set of cable silencers on your tree stand, on your hang on tree stand, I mean, there's no reason not to.
Yeah.
Because if you squeak that, I mean, Infall of all people, he says it's either happened to you, it has happened or it will. You're either in that. I never even thought of it, but now that we make them, for $4, why would you not make certain that that never happens?
Yeah, especially with those rubber boots. If you're wearing the rubber boots, that's where I've squeaked. That's where I've seen it.
All your boots are rubber bottomed. So
that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So even if you're not wearing a full rubber boot, you still have the potential. If you got tennis shoes on, for crying out loud, you can take that edge that's rubber and squeak it. So just wrap them.
Yeah, like a small roll is like $9.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, this is super affordable stuff. And like you said to me at one point, you don't know you need it till you have it, until you played with it and you use it. And then it's like, okay, yep, I need a few more rolls of this. You created something cool here, man. That's for sure.
And thank you for that. But my goal is, and that's part of why I welcome coming to your audience, is I don't think enough people have heard about us. And the like people that know me through the mobile hunting, they're like, gosh, we see you everywhere. We hear you everywhere. And then I said to somebody at ATA show, you know, there's a humbling scene for somebody that's known in the mobile hunting market. Mobile hunting's maybe, and your guess is as good as mine, I'm going to guess 5%. Okay. I said, you think Michael Waddell over there and signing autographs, you think he's heard of Stealth Strips? And the guy looked at me and he goes, huh? Kind of like, you know, we've got so much more work to do, but eventually I want every hunter to know what Stealth Strips are. And of course, since I make them and sell them, I don't know. I just think everybody would benefit by having a small or medium roll in their pack, or get a small, medium roll and put half in your pack and half in your truck. You're always going to find a use for it.
And to boot, these are made in the USA, correct?
Yes, sir.
In Michigan.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. Yep. We did not start a textile mill or a glue factory, but so the fabrics, all my fabrics are brought in unprinted overseas, and they're printed. All the camos are printed in America, and either True Timber or my printer in Pennsylvania. So all the printing's done here. The adhesive's made here. The lamination is done here. And we used to laminate, but now we do so much. I found a laminator, and now we just cut it up and pack, you know, we cut it up, we warehouse it, and we ship it. And we do all the sizing here. We do all the cutting.
Man, that's impressive. Is there anything else on this introductory podcast here that we should know about before we dive into the rapid fire questions? I mean, we're going to be doing some content for you in the future. We got a bunch of stuff to wrap and silence, and there'll be more to come. But anything else for today's purposes that you think we might have missed?
No, other than we have played around. You mentioned stuff about creating. I mean, we've gotten away for a long time of just adding patterns and making new sizes, but we have created a couple things really cool. Like we did the digital gray pattern. Al's great. The smoke we did with the graphic designer before Al was, he was affiliated with Tethered when we did the smoke camo. And we farted around with clothing. And keep your eyes open in the next months, maybe slightly longer, but hopefully in a month, we're doing a really cool collab project with The Beast. And we're talking to a couple other of our big customers that you and some of your audience have heard of, that doing some collab projects with some other people. So we're doing some exciting things. It's a lot of fun.
Heck yeah. I think one thing we haven't heard about are some of your awesome hunting stories, but you know, I don't know if you want to share any of those today. We're going to go into the rapid fire questions here and
I think looking at the time, and when you said appointment, you know what I got coming up? I got to be at the dentist at 1 PM and I am not a dentist guy. So I am so intrigued by your rapid fire. I want to step into rapid fire. We can always talk hunting later.
Let's do it, buddy. All right. Your favorite beverage?
Bush Light.
Good answer. Favorite venison or wild game recipe?
Backstrap on the grill.
Simple, stupid. I love it. Fixed blade or expandable broadheads when you're bow hunting?
Fixed.
Which ones?
Oh gosh, I've experimented so many. I didn't get to use them last year, but I'm excited about the Havocs. And I got some from I think he's a Michigan company, A. Boyer. And then both of these heads were so expensive. And I've become good friends with a couple of guys at Prime. I goose hunted the year before. Last year I didn't, with my crossbow, just kind of nuisance control around here. And I thought, I'm not shooting these Havocs or these A. Boyers at geese. So I got some Prime Montex at the Woods and Water Show. Gosh, that wasn't rapid fire. That was long drawn out. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. You are qualifying for rapid fire. And yeah, I can imagine, you know, those Montex have been around for so long, just bulletproof, you know.
And the Prime guys are great. I mean, they're just great guys.
Yeah, we got to meet them at the Deer Hunter thing with you as well, and for sure. What do you like the most? Preset stands, blinds, or going mobile?
Ground hunting mobile since 09. That's when we get back on stories, we'll get into that. I started ground hunting in 09. That coincided with the crossbow. It cut me loose. I hunt on the ground 97% of the time, and I love it.
You know what? The crossbow thing on the ground makes so much sense to me. Like when I'm up rifle hunting up in northern Michigan, my butt's on the ground against a tree. That's how I was raised. That's how I started. And you can just do that wherever you want. So that makes perfect sense. Who would water or cover in the woods? When you're out there, what are you looking for?
Cover.
Favorite? Oh, here's one for you. Favorite habitat tool or instrument when you're working on habitat?
Chainsaw.
Good answer. Last but not least, your favorite tree. It could be one you want to sit next to. It could be one you plant for your deer. It could be one in the front yard.
There's a tree up the road I call Stevie's tree, and I shot a coyote near it. I was having some shooting problems this year. Stevie's my older brother who passed away in 06, and he killed it. I grew up in Southern Illinois, and he came up in 06, killed a big old public land tom right up here in Seven Lakes State Rec area. And I've never been able to kill a dang bird up there. They're just ornery as hell. And he did it. And he was a very patient turkey hunter. And I'm a run and gun. I am the opposite of patience. And so Stevie's tree is my favorite tree.
And do you happen to know what kind of tree Stevie's tree is?
It's an oak tree. It's a big old white gnarly oak tree.
I'd have to say, Brian, the white oak is by far the most prominent favorite tree by every and all listeners, and good reason for it.
For sure.
Lou's reason right there is probably the best reason I've heard, but that's awesome, Lou. Hey man, that's what we have for you today. We appreciate you hopping on, and we'll get this out to the masses. And in our intro coming before, we'll talk about the sale that's coming up. So we'll make sure to have you covered there too.
Okay. Hey, I'm looking at the clock. When will this air?
This will probably air the week, probably a week from now, about a week from now.
Okay. Will that be around March 4th? Because I let you know we're having that sale too on March 4th, right?
Exactly. So the one that airs tomorrow is where I'll talk about that prior to this one airing.
Okay. And then you'll do the Habitat 10 discount code after that?
Yeah, we didn't even mention that. So you were nice enough without Habitat guys even asking you to create a Habitat podcast code, Habitat 10, and that goes for anything on the website. Is that right?
It will go for everything. I think we excluded the DVDs. We sell Dan Infault's DVDs, and I can't remember going back and forth with my web designer if it included the clothing items or not. I think it's just for stealth strips and the rail silencers. I'll clarify that.
Well, either way, it's nice enough for you to do that for us and our listeners. We have a bunch of listeners, and they're going to appreciate that. So Habitat 10 on checkout, guys. Go give Lou a shot over there at Stealth Outdoors, and check out the cell strips and the new rail silencer. And Lou, as always, appreciate you. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Jared, Brian, absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Lou.
Thank you for tuning in to the Habitat Podcast. We really do appreciate you guys coming back every week to get this awesome Habitat content, and we would appreciate it if you went to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast, and leave us a 5-star review. That helps us continue to grow and trend in the right direction, attract new listeners, and help us provide better content in the future. Guys, we have a website full of resources. We have a blog on the website. We have YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all linked up at habitatpodcast.com. Our land plan services, merchandise, decals, hats, t-shirts, and I give away a free 5-inch decal to anyone who leaves us a review on Apple iTunes. Really appreciate it. I want to thank our partners, Downburst Cedars, Vitalize Seed Company, Morse Nursery, Packer Max Cultipackers, Stealth Outdoors, Tagged Out Seed Products, First Light, Latitude Outdoors, United Country Midwest Lifestyle Properties, and Exodus Outdoor Gear. Thanks again, guys. We'll be back next week with another great episode of the Habitat Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
Once in a while, it's fun to go with, like, just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.